I enjoy doing the divorces. All of my cases, if the individual has to call me, they're not in a good place. Divorce is not fun. It's an emotional roller coaster.
Certainly is.
And I'm trying to help the client the best that I can, make it through that emotional roller coaster and start their new happy place.
Well, welcome, Chrissy Powers. Today we're being joined by Chrissy Powers of Powers Forensic Accounting LLC. Welcome, Chrissy.
Thanks, Erin. I really appreciate you having me today.
Yeah, and today we're going to talk a little bit about a topic that is very important to you. And what is that?
Tracing separate property, and that can be done both in a contested divorce as well as in a collaborative setting.
Okay. And so tell me how that works in a collaborative setting and then in a full courtroom.
The process of actually tracing the separate property would be the same in both settings, except for in a litigated setting. So if someone has filed for divorce and let's say the wife claims that she has separate property, that burden of proof is on that individual to prove that. And separate property typically is not subject to division when you do the division of the marital assets. So the individual claiming that they have separate property has quite a bit of work for themselves to do to gather the appropriate records so that someone like myself can trace whether it's cash, stock, real estate, whatever that interest is from the time that they were married through the date that they're getting divorced or de facto date if they're in a litigated setting.
Wow, that's a lot of work. So that's including both like they had a home before they got married, or they inherited property or stock, is that correct?
Yep. So separate property can take multiple different forms. It could be something that was inherited during the marriage, it could be premarital property. Like it's common that someone owns stock before they got married or has a retirement account or real estate. An award from personal injury, that's considered separate
Oh,
property in Ohio, or just anything you received as a gift, pre or post marriage, obviously.
and do you see that fairly often in cases?
It's becoming more and more prevalent now because there's more individuals that are getting remarried, marriage from their second time. So they have some assets accumulated, like retirement that they might have worked prior to the second marriage, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it comes up in a lot of cases. Some of it's straightforward. Like, for example, let's say I'm married and my grandmother passes away and she gives me 100 shares of AEP stock. That's mine. And so let's say during the life of my marriage, I hold it as AEP stock. And when I'm getting divorced, I still have those 100 shares plus the dividends that were reinvested. And maybe my AEP stock has grown because of that from 100 to 120. So those 120 shares would be my separate property. That's kind of a simple, straightforward one. I deal with some that are much more complicated. So same scenario, but let's say once grandma gave me the 100 shares of stock, I said, well, I don't really like AEP. I'm going to sell this and I'm going to invest in, like, let's say Apple. So I sell the stock and then I use those proceeds to buy Apple. Then after a
During the
year or two,
marriage.
yeah, through the marriage. Then after a year or two, I said, well, I'm just going to get rid of the Apple because we want to buy a house. So I sell the Apple stock that's grown and I use those proceeds and transfer them into the joint checking account. And they sit there for less than 30 days. And then they go as the down deposit on the house that my husband and I are going to buy. Some people think that once it hits that joint checking account, that it's gone. You know, that you are
Sure,
no
sure.
longer have that as separate property. But if the balance in that checking account hasn't dropped below the value that comes in. So let's say 50,000 came in for that stock. And then we can see the 50,000 move out within 30 days. And I'm telling my forensic accountant, someone like myself, like, nope, that was my intention. I sold my stock that I inherited and that it was moved to the checking account so that then I could write the check or transfer that through wire to the title company. Now my separate property from grandma has moved and it started out in AEP. Then it went to Apple. Then we follow it into the joint checking account. And then we trace that, let's say it's a wire transaction that's on the face of the bank statement over to the HUD statement at the title company. And we see that that dollar amount matches. I now have a separate property interest in the home, which depending on the longevity of the marriage, there could be appreciation that gets allocated to my separate property portion. So
just by selling it, you didn't lose the ability to have it be separate.
Correct. Wow. And sometimes what they think maybe only have two accounts, but then they realize that it's moved from what they've done over the years, could go from two account tracings to six account tracings.
A little more work for you.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, again, the individual that says, hey, I have separate property, that's their burden of proof in Ohio. So they've got to do the legwork. They've got to pull the documents, maybe with the help of their attorney. And then someone myself has to analyze and evaluate those and put a tracing together through the various different account vehicles that it may travel through, if you will, and present that to, in a collaborative setting, you know, I'd present that to the four-way, to everyone to look at, all the professionals and both of their clients and the attorneys. In a litigated setting, I would give it to the wife's attorney, and then she would share it with opposing counsel and or their forensic accountant to look at and say, we agree or we disagree.
And are you often called or sometimes called in as an expert witness into the courtroom, or usually is it just your documents?
It all depends. I've been to the court multiple times. I've been doing forensic accounting for over 25 years now.
And that brings me to my next question is, how did you get into forensic? I assume you were initially a CPA with general background, or tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So I have an accounting degree and sat for my CPA as a young accountant. But even when I was in college, I was following different fraud cases that were in the news. And back in the day, Franklin County had a clerk of court, Jesse Odie, that had misappropriated funds. And for my ethics class, I was following that through the news and keeping up on that. So I knew once I graduated and started in public accounting that I had an interest on the fraud side of things, which falls under the forensic accounting bucket. So I started, quote, following the money, if you will, through some fraud work in the audit department at the first CPA firm that I was at. And then I got my CPA credential. Then I got my CFE credential, which is certified fraud examiner. Then I later got my CFF, which is certified in financial forensics.
Wow.
And also I'm a CVA, which is certified valuation analyst. So all my work now, Aaron, is 100% forensic accounting. I don't do any of the traditional work that when you think of a CPA, like I don't prepare tax returns, except for my families. Still have to do that for my parents.
And I always still do that. Help family.
Yeah. Yeah. But I am 100% forensic accounting at Powers Forensic Accounting, and we focus on the divorces, fraud investigations, damage calculations, but it all is under the same mentality of following the money.
And do you just work in Ohio, or will you?
I've been to Florida, West Virginia. I almost got the chance to go to the Dominican Republic on one fraud investigation, but the other side was finally decided to produce the records. Otherwise, I was going to have to go on site to the business and gather them. So that one was a little bit of a disappointment. I was interested in getting to
a little travel. Work and pleasure trip combo.
Yeah. But definitely, I enjoy doing the divorces. All of my cases, you know, if the individual has to call me, they're not in a good place. You know, divorce is not fun. It's an emotional roller coaster.
It certainly is.
And I'm trying to help the client the best that I can, make it through that emotional roller coaster and start their new happy place. And if they're able to provide records and look at for the separate property, you know, if I can prove that to assist them in being able to keep some of their assets that are theirs, then, you know, I'm here to help with that.
It sounds both challenging and very, very rewarding.
It can be. Some of these cases, you know, they think they have the records or the marriage is 30 years and some of them can't find the records, or it's a matter of going and having to subpoena their employer. I have one case right now that is litigated and I'm hired as a neutral. I'm working for both the husband and wife because both of them have separate property. And the one party has had a little bit of trouble of finding some of the documents that they thought existed, or, you know, and the other party was able, they were with the same employer for many years. Their retirement plan had just switched to it, administered it. So that made life a little easier because they were able to go back to HR and subpoena the plan administrator for the records that were needed. And then they're like, okay, we know this point in time is when it switched from A to B. And so then sent the subpoena over to B and gather all those records. So for the most part, I need all the records. Occasionally, if we have some gaps, I can make some assumptions, but it just depends on how big of a leap, if you will, those assumptions are. I know for one case that I had, we could not find all of the records for the statements on the mortgage. So I put together an amortization schedule and it was falling in line with what was paid and what the interest was for the year in that for the gap. So the expert on the other side was like, yeah, I agree with you. Due to the records that you had, I would have came at it from the same direction and put an amortization schedule together. And, you know, the balances were fairly close. It was just reasonable that it wasn't a huge leap. So in something like that, you know, the other expert forensic accountant looked at it, was saying, yeah, I agree. And we were able to stipulate to my side's separate property. So I didn't have to go down to court to testify.
Well, anything else you'd like to tell our audience about forensic accounting and as it relates to divorce that, you know, someone just considering might want to know, obviously gathering as many documents, but, you know, is there anything else you'd like to share?
I think just that it's very important that you gather as many records as you need. If you suspect that you possibly have separate property, that is definitely a conversation to have early on with your attorney. At that time, then they can kind of give you some feedback, or they may say, call someone like Chrissy at that point to discuss what we believe is available. And, you know, is this going to be enough as it relates to the documentation? Or do you have any ideas of where you can go to get records? Right. I know I've pulled some stuff down from the recorder's office over the years to help piece documents together that the clients had already purged their files and shredded and things like that. Always starting early and maintaining as many records as possible. Or writing down where you think, you know, your retirement plans were so that we can kind of do a little roadmap and then see what can be gathered through subpoenas with the help of your attorney.
Always helpful.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to reach out to you, Chrissy, what's the best way to connect with you? Is it email, mobile phone, website? What's best?
My phone number at the office is 614-745-5192, or they can email me at Chrissy, which is spelled CHRISSIE.powers with an S at powersforensic.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Chrissy, this was very informative, and I hope we can chat again soon on other topics. This has been wonderful, and I know my audience will really enjoy it. So thank you very, very much. Have a great day.
All right, great. Thanks so much for having me, Erin. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.